The sermon for this afternoon is Christ's second coming, taken from Matthew chapter 24, verses 26 to 35. There is a heaven and earth-shaking event that the world will witness in the coming days. It would take place when the Antichrist, the capital A Antichrist, the Antichrist that is prophesied in the scriptures, the man of perdition and sin, would rise to rule the world. An unprecedented world dictator will arise in the coming days that will wield great political, economic, and religious authority. He would have the army of the world at his command, and he would legislate that every human upon planet Earth cannot buy and sell unless they have his permission, unless they would take on a mark of allegiance in their forehand or in their forehead. And the Bible tells us that all who take the mark of the beast would have no salvation, no way back. And the Antichrist would be given great power. Revelation chapter 13, verses 13 to 18 tells us that he does great wonders, and even have the power to bring fire from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. Revelation 13, 13. You remember the man who did that at Mount Carmel? The prophet Elijah, when he was challenged by the 450 Baal prophets from Samaria, God brought fire from heaven in order to stamp his authority that he is indeed the living and true God. But there will come in the future a false Christ, an antichrist, who would do the same. He would have that power, phenomenal power, to bring fire from heaven. And he would cause both small and great, rich and poor, free and born, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads. As we look at the world around us today, we see that this is certainly possible. The technology is available for such a task. And the work of enslaving an entire world is a mind-boggling phenomena. But with the advancement of technology, we see that this is not such a far-fetched reality. Let us take a look at the slides. This is a pictorial representation of human history given by God to Daniel. And it gives to us the human empires that came. The Egyptians, the Assyrians, followed by the Babylonians, the Medo-Persian, the Grecians, the Kingdom of Rome. And then we see the restored Roman Empire. And then we'll see, finally, the kingdom of God arising as a final empire of this world. You see, the Babylonian Empire, it stretched to a great extent in Central Asia Minor. Not that great. But if you look at the ensuing empires that came, the Persian Empire, the Grecian Empire of Alexander the Great conquered all the way to India. And then you have the Roman Empire. How the saying goes that every road leads to Rome. Well, the Bible tells us that there will be an empire out of that Roman Empire that would arise in the latter days, that would have a global reach. The Lord wants us to understand that the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ is an event that would culminate in Him ruling the earth physically at His coming. And so you see here, we give you a chart giving time frame of the various human empires. And you can see that human empires has not accomplished much. In fact, human empire has been one disaster after another. Just on Wednesday night prayer meeting, we were studying the time when God called Elijah to minister during the time of King Ahab. He was the monarch of the northern kingdom. And how when he came, well, before him, there was great bloodshed. One general killing another and taking control of the kingdom, and how it was just so messy. Well, this is a picture of human kingdoms. How truly you find that human kingdoms just could not manifest itself to rule in true peace, with true justice, with true equity. But a time will come when Christ Himself will come and rule upon earth. And it will be a phenomenal time where the earth will be brought back to an Edenic state, never before. And the Bible tells us that the believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, the raptured church, would be ruling with Christ at His coming. Well, this is a picture to help us to see in perspective as we go into our text. Three thoughts that we want us to see. Firstly, from verses 26 to 28, the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ will be a great public event. It will not be something that is hidden in a corner, nobody knows. But it will be an heaven and earth shaking event that every man upon earth would be able to see, because He would be coming to rule upon earth at the time of His second coming. Verses 26 to 28. And the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ would be an event following the Great Tribulation. You recall, 2 weeks ago, we studied the 7-year Great Tribulation. Verses 29 to 31 tells us that the coming of Christ would take place immediately after the Great Tribulation. And thirdly, from verses 32 to 35, it will be an event that would take place after Israel return to the land. This is what Jesus said to us in verse 32. Concerning the fig tree, how it is a symbol of Israel. And when Israel is back in the land, the clock starts ticking to the time when Christ would come again. And we know that it is indeed an event that has taken place in our lifetime. 14th of May, 1948, when Israel became a nation. And how Israel in 1967, in the Six-Day War, which we have showed you several weeks ago, regain control of Jerusalem. The Bible tells us in Revelation chapter 3, verse 10, because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I will also keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. The Bible tells us that the church of Jesus Christ would not have to go through the tribulation that would come upon earth, that would seek to show men that God is indeed in charge of His creation. And so, the Bible tells us that the church would be taken away. The church would be raptured before that event to come. So this is the chart that gives to us the timeline. And, you know, when our Lord speaks here in Matthew chapter 24, about 50 years later, He would speak concerning the details of it to the Apostle John in the book of Revelation. And if you put them together, you'll be able to see what our Lord is speaking about concerning the events that is to take place soon in the near future. Verse 26. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not. A student of the scripture would have no problem to identify that our Lord's coming will be a great public event. He will not be hiding here or hiding there, but He would come very clearly for us to see. Verse 26 gives to us a contrast with the rapture of the church. How in the rapture of the church. The world would not understand, and next week we would be studying the events of the rapture. But the second coming of Christ is an event that will be witnessed by both believers and unbelievers who are upon earth at that time. Verse 27 tells us, this is the first thought from verses 26 to 28, a great public event. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. The coming of Christ would be an event that you would be able to see just as the lightning would flash in the thundery skies. You would be able to see Christ at his second coming. And John said in Revelation 1:7, "Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him." This is a declaration that is supported by this statement in verse 28. A description from the animal world, right, to help us to see the phenomena. Verse 28 says, "For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together." What verse 28 is saying to us here is that the glorious coming of Jesus Christ is an event that comes in a natural sequence, just as when in the animal world, right, an animal dies, right, the next thing you would see, the vultures would come to feed on the dead animal. And so the glorious coming of Christ is a time that is characterized by great blasphemy and unbelief in the Great Tribulation. And this great corruption would be followed by a time of great divine judgment. And so this physical phenomena is being used to help us to see, to describe for us what is to take place. A judgment that would come upon planet Earth because men and women have rejected their God. The suffering of God has reached its limit. For the unrepentant, there will be no escape when Christ would come, and the carnage would be global. And the Lord wants us to understand and see and know, firstly, concerning such an event. And so when we look at the second coming of Christ, the events leading up to the last days, you'll find that there would be two events that would take place: the rapture and the second coming of Christ. They are two separate events, all right? But if you were to look from here, as you look at this podium, you would see that, you know, if you were to look from this angle, you would not be able to see the width of it. And so the Lord wants us to understand that the coming, his coming, Well, thus consists of two events. And we have to look at it from a different angle. And our Lord is giving to us a description of the second event, which is taking place, which is described here as the second coming. All right? And this event would come following the great tribulation. Right, verse 29 tells us, immediately after the tribulation of those days, shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then shall the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. What is it that the Lord is saying to us? Well, you see here, this event will take place immediately after the great tribulation. This is a chart which we saw 2 weeks ago, describing where we are now in the church age, right, leading to the great tribulation. And the great tribulation, as we mentioned the last time, would be 7 years in length. And how there would be great destruction that would take place upon earth, right? The seals, the trumpets, the bowl judgment would take place upon earth. God's judgment against men who rebel against Him. But men continue to resist God. This is Isaiah's description of those times. You see, at that time, the rebellion against God would reach its climatic consummation. The whole world would be against God. The church would be taken up. And there will be great violence, great evil upon the earth. The Antichrist would seek to rule. And the text tells us how this is a terrible event to come. How ye, for the day of the Lord is at hand, and it shall come as destruction from the Almighty. Therefore shall all hands be faint, and every man's heart shall melt, and they shall be afraid. Pangs and sorrows shall take hold of them. They shall be in pain as a woman that travaileth. They shall be amazed at one another. Their faces shall be as flames. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, both cruel, both with wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate, and he shall destroy sinners thereof out of it. For the stars of heaven and the constellations thereof shall not give their light. The sun shall not be darkened in his going forth, and the moon shall not cause her light to shine. And I will punish the world for their evil, and the wicked for their iniquity. And I will cause the arrogancy of the proud to cease and lay low the haughtiness of the terrible. Isaiah chapter 13, verses 6 to 11. It will be a time when God would greatly judge the earth. What are we arriving at when we speak of this judgment? Well, we are saying to us here that this event would take place at the close of the tribulation after the church will be taken to heaven. And if you realize what is to come in the near future, then you realize that you don't want to fall under the wrath of the Almighty God. I had the opportunity of studying the book of Revelation several times. And each time it has been a life-changing event, because it causes me to think, what am I doing with my life? Because God is going to destroy this earth in a time to come. And what is it that I value? What is it that really matters in eternity? It caused me to tremble. It caused me to think and consider, what am I doing with my life? Because if I am building barns here upon earth, I will be disappointed. And that's why the Word of God gives us this warning. You see, there would be great disaster coming upon us during the 7 year of tribulation. The earth on fire, one third destroyed, one third of trees destroyed. You know, over the last 3 months or so, we have experienced fogging or, you know, haze. Imagine the phenomena when one third of the earth's vegetation are on fire. Imagine the kind of haze that you would see. You have nowhere to hide. The Lord tells us that these are events that are coming, and you don't want to be under the wrath of God during the time of the judgment of God. There will be earth, heaven and earth shaking phenomena to come. You see, all these events are taking place or would take place during the time when the Antichrist would arise to take control of the whole world. And the battle is between rebellious men led by Satan and God. This is the battle that is going on, that will reach a culmination before Christ coming again. And the Bible tells us that after Christ would come, He would bring to the earth a period of great peace, 1,000 years. And when He come, He tells us that He would destroy the armies of the earth, and that final battle, right, verse 29 tells us how the sun be darkened and the moon will not give her light. The stars shall fall from heaven and the powers of heavens shall be shaken. It's describing for us earlier this judgment that would take place, described in the book of Revelation from chapter 6 to chapter 19. And the culminating event would be when the armies of the world would prepare themselves to march toward Israel to take control of Jerusalem. This final battle is called the Battle of Armageddon. And this battle would be accomplished and would take place when a phenomenon of the drying of the Euphrates River in Mesopotamia. And, you know, we know today that they are building a great dam over there. And it's possible that the river would be dried up. And we know that from the east, the armies of the east, in Russia, in China, well, they are men, well, who will be ready to make that march. And the Bible tells us that there will be this phenomenon that would take place when the world's army would fight against Israel. This is given in Revelation chapter 16, verses 13 to 16, if you would turn there. Revelation chapter 16, verses 13 to 16. It says here, "And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are spirits of devils working miracles, and go forth unto the kings of the earth and the whole world to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty." So during that time, there would go forth the spirit of devils working miracles and influencing the kings of the earth. Verse 14 of Revelation 16 tells us, "And the whole world, and to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty." Oh, they want to fight with God. And the evil spirit would gather themselves together. Physically, the battle would be to take Israel, to take Jerusalem. But spiritually, it is a battle to take control, to snuff out the presence of God totally from the earth. You know that by that time, the earth is already, the church is already raptured. Right? God has two witnesses upon earth. Israel, whom he raised as a nation, and the church. But the church has been raptured already. Right? What is left at that time? Well, Israel. Our text tells us in Matthew 24:32, that this fig tree would bring forth leaves, but without figs. They would be in the land, Israel, but they would be an unbelieving lot. And the army of the world would be marching head on. Verse 15 of Revelation 16 says, "Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watches and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame." The Lord wants us to know and be prepared. And verse 16 says, "And he gathered them together into a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon." This is the final battle, the final war, history's final war. And the Lord tells us that this battle would take place that would culminate in Christ coming again. When we went to the Holy Land, we were at Mount Carmel, where Elijah's, you know, caught fire from heaven. And there we saw how there was a great plain, a flat piece of land. If you want to reach Jerusalem, you must pass through Megiddo. and this last battle to snuff out Israel would accomplish the work of annihilating the presence of God upon earth in a complete way. Remember, the church is already raptured. What is left? Unbelieving Israel. But the world knows that Israel is a special people. They are a people called of God. And so the Bible tells us that the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ would be an event that would take place when Christ would return to save Israel and to fight against the army of the world. A great carnage is going to take place during that time. Revelation chapter 19. If you turn there, it's a description of the coming of Christ. Verse 6. And I heard as it were the voice of great multitude and the voice of many waters and the voice of almighty thundering saying, Hallelujah! For the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him. For the marriage of the Lamb is come and his wife has made herself ready. And to her was granted that she be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. Well, the Lord is preparing his people. All who would be raptured in Christ, they would be coming with Christ upon earth to rule for 1,000 years. And verse 9 says, And he saith unto me, Write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, These are the true sayings of God. And I fell at my feet to worship him. And he said, See thou, do it not. I am thy servant and thy brethren that have testimony of Jesus. Worship God. So, you know, John was asked not to worship the angel who gave him that picture of the church that was prepared by God to come upon earth to rule with Christ for 1,000 years. And verse 11 is the event of Christ coming again. Revelation 19 verse 11. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sitteth upon him was called Faithful and True. Well, this is the event that is taking place that is described in Matthew chapter 24 verse 30. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And this is a detailed description. He would come in righteousness, and he doth judge and make war. His eyes shall be as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written and that no man knew but himself. And he was clothed with a vesture deep in blood, and his name was called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. So this final battle would not be a battle, you know, of course, physically. They would be marching head on towards Jerusalem to annihilate all the Jews, right, the last witness of God upon earth. But the battle would be skyward, okay, against the army of God that is coming from heaven. And look at verse 15. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, and that with it he shall smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he shall tread the winepresses of the fierceness of the wrath of God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He would come and he would rule and he would quell this final rebellion that would gather momentum at the sixth bowl, right? Sixth bowl judgment, which we have described to you, right? In Revelation 16, verse 12 and 13 onwards. Right. And verse 17. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying, to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God, that ye may eat the flesh of kings, and the flesh of captains, and the flesh of mighty men, and the flesh of horses and of them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. One more text, Zechariah chapter 14, if you turn there. Zechariah chapter 14. Zechariah is just before Malachi, the last second book of the Old Testament. Verse 1. It says here, Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, and thy spoil shall divide in the midst of thee, and I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken, and the houses raffled, and the women ravished, and half the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle. Verse 4. And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem. So chapter 24 tells us that the whole world would see him coming in great glory and power. And how we saw in the book of Revelation that he would speak and the armies of the world would be destroyed. And then here in verse 4, it tells us that Christ would come and stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, the place where Christ ascended to heaven 2,000 years before. Christ would come again in the near future, which is before Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount of Olives, which clave in the midst towards the east and the west. And verse 12. And this shall be the plague wherewith the Lord shall smite all the people that have fought against Jerusalem. Their flesh shall consume away while they stand upon their feet. Their eyes shall consume away in their holes, and their tongue shall consume away in their mouth. So when Christ come at his second coming, he would be destroying the armies of the world. And look at that destruction. It says that they would stand and they would just simply be consumed away. Now I was watching a video of the interview when the atomic bomb dropped upon Hiroshima. And how there was great burning. And literally the flesh of those who were impacted just simply fall off like that. And they had nowhere to run. Well, here you see a description how the flesh was consumed away while they stand upon their feet. And their eyes shall consume away in their holes, and their tongues shall consume away in their mouth. What great destruction is going to come when Christ would come to judge the earth. But the Bible tells us that after that judgment, after that great war, would come a time of great peace upon earth. And every Christian, all who believe in Christ, all who will be taken up to heaven, would be there during that 1,000-year rule of Christ upon earth. Remember we said in our first picture, this is the final outcome. Right? And we are here, moving on to here. Very close. Now we go back to Matthew 24 to tell us exactly how close we are to all these events. An event after Israel returned to the land, verses 32 to 35. Then learn the parable of the fig tree. When its branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is nigh. So likewise, ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the very doors. So Israel has been in the land since 14th of May, 1968. How many years ago? Or 1948? 67 years, that's right. And what did it say here in verse 33, 34? Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. How many years is one generation? 70 years? How near are we? Verse 33. So likewise, ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near. So what Jesus Christ is saying is that the formation of the modern Jewish state of Israel in 1948 would be an important sign of the last days, that the generation who saw it happen would not pass away before his coming would be fulfilled. Verse 34, verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Dear friends, as you read the scripture, does it not tell you where we stand in human history? We are indeed very close, very near to that time. And our eschatology tells us that Christ would take the church away before the tribulation would come, before the second coming. We are here. Right? 63 BC, the Roman Empire. Today we are 2015. May God help us to see and understand and be prepared for this great event. May God help us to prepare our lives and that of our family so that we may indeed know what is the will of God for our lives. Let us pray. Father, we want to thank Thee for showing to us the events leading up to Thy coming again. O God, we understand from our text that it is a great public event, the time of Thy coming again, and that it would be an event that would follow the great tribulation, and that it would be an event after Israel return to the land. O Lord, we have witnessed the formation of the modern state of Israel in 1948. And Your word tells us that Your will would be accomplished soon. May Thou help us to be prepared. May Thou help us so that we, when the time comes, that we would stand before Christ. We would not come before Him, that He would bring no reward for us because we have not been doing anything for His kingdom's sake. O Lord, help us to evaluate our lives. Help us to see if we have been living for this world. And help us, Lord, to repent and come back to Thee so that we may know how to order our lives and use our time so that we would accumulate rewards, eternal rewards in heaven. O Lord, help us this, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.